This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
On a dreary Wednesday evening, we welcome you in. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX, and my name is Matt Pauley. Have you for 2 hours tonight. Really, in some ways, I have you for 3 hours tonight because I've got you 6 to 8 here for a Graybar Sports Open Line, and then we'll roll right into the Gas House Gang, which tonight is myself and Kevin Wheeler. We'll do that from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Busy show. Very, very busy show tonight here on KMOX from a guest standpoint. Bernie Miklas is going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll head to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Joe Roderick will join us at 6:35. Next hour, we'll talk City SC with our good friend Jen Cease. And we'll talk a little Lindenwood basketball with their head coach, Kyle Gerdeman. He's going to join us at about 7:35. As always, we do have time for you. Your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your voice messages are all welcome here into Sports Open Line. If you call or text, the phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. With us having guests in our next couple segments, we'll really open up those phone lines coming up later on, but we will have them open. As always, you can text in 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, and you can also, like I said, leave a voice message. If you are listening on the Odyssey app, or even if you're not listening on the Odyssey app, but you have the Odyssey app, you can just go to the KMOX feed and click down on the microphone, leave a voice message, and that voice message rolls right into the KMOX studio. So we've got that for you as well if you want to get connected with the program. We are 1 week away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Happy 1 week marker from that. Next Wednesday, Jupiter, Florida, we're going to be there, and it's going to be a pitchers and catchers report day. First scheduled workout is scheduled for a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, and we're ready to be there. I'll get down to Florida on Monday and really start doing things there on Tuesday. So we are ready to bring you coverage of Cardinals spring training. And the question that has remained since really the winter meetings and now continues to remain is whether or not Nolan Arenado is going to be on this club. Like, we've had this conversation ad nauseum over and over and over and over about an Arenado. But now what's happening, again, we're a week from pitchers and catchers. Now what's happening is there is a little bit more smoke that's out there. Whether or not there's fire to go along with it, that's anybody's guess. But there's a little bit more smoke. It started yesterday when J.P. Morosi sent out a tweet about the Cardinals and the Red Sox kind of re-engaging on conversations about Arenado. It has continued today. There's been Derek Gould made reference to that. Buster Olney sent something out as well. So a lot of baseball insiders, a lot of very connected people are saying that there is some activity right now between the Cardinals and the Red Sox. I'll say this, and again, a lot of this seems to be connected to Alex Bregman and the teams that we keep hearing now that are still in the teams that seem to be the most likely landers of Alex Bregman. appear to be the Houston Astros, who continue to have an offer on the table. But now I'm hearing a lot about the Chicago Cubs now, and I don't want to see that happen. Last thing I want is for the best available remaining free agent, with all due respect to Pete Alonso, and best remaining free agent position player. That'd be the better way to say it. Last thing I want is for him to end up with the Chicago Cubs. So I hope Bregman and the Cubs, that doesn't end up happening. But we're not hearing as much when it comes to the Red Sox being connected in on Bregman. Now, the Red Sox have the financial means to make that happen. If they really want Alex Bregman, they could probably offer in the same neighborhood of what the Astros are offering, what the Cubs are offering. So maybe they're just kind of stepping back from that situation. Maybe they feel like they're not, that they don't have much of a chance at this point with what they're willing to do for Bregman. So that's why the conversations about Arenado with the Cardinals have kind of picked up a little bit, because they feel like internally they are out of the Bregman sweepstakes. That's probably what's going on. I would say 70% chance that's what's happening. That the Red Sox are reading what everybody else is reading, that Bregman is unlikely to head to Boston. So if they really want to upgrade themselves at third base, which is something that has been talked about for quite some time, and in that situation, Rafael Devers would probably move over to first base. If they are going to go down that path, if they want to improve themselves defensively at third base, the best remaining option, if they're not going to get Alex Bregman, is Nolan Arenado. So those conversations are starting to pick up a little bit. I would just throw this out there, though. And again, the scenario that I just laid out, I think is like a 70% chance scenario. That other 30% chance, they could also be using this as leverage against Scott Boras in these talks for Bregman, where if they feel like that they've got an offer on the table for Bregman that is better than the other teams that are out there, then they could be saying, look, we're tired of waiting. We're going to move on to our plan B, which is Nolan Arenado, and we are going to start engaging, and we're going to start trying to work out a deal with the Cardinals to get Arenado, and we're going to move on from Bregman. And again, it's possible that that's happening. I don't think it's likely, because again, we are continuing to only hear about the Cubs and the Astros in the Bregman sweepstakes. But if that there's a chance that that's happening, there's a chance that the Red Sox feel like that they have given an offer to Bregman that is should be more respected than it has been respected, and they're trying to create a little bit of leverage. We'll see. I just want this thing to be over with. In some ways, I am rooting for Bregman not to go to Boston. So if the Boston thing is going to happen, that seems like the most likely thing, because I just don't want this Arenado thing hanging over the head of the Cardinals here moving forward. We are going to take a break. We'll get Bernie Miklas' thoughts on it coming up in just a moment. He joins us for our weekly conversation. That's up in just a moment or so. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Time for our weekly conversation with Bernie Miklas, which is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. Bernie, always good to talk to you. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
Doing good, man. And also looking forward to being with you on the Gas House Gang at noon tomorrow.
You'll get me on Friday. Tomorrow, I think
Friday, with Wheeler. That's right. It's me and Wheeler. What am I doing? I'm trying to rush to Friday. That's why.
There you go.
Anyway, sorry, man. Go ahead.
No, always one of my favorite parts of the week is being able to work with you on that for sure. We've been talking nothing but Nolan Arenado seemingly for months, but if you believe the stuff on social media, all of a sudden there's a little bit more smoke that's starting to puff out connecting him to the Boston Red Sox. They've always been the team that we've been talking about recently. How much do you feel that some of this stuff that's out there is legitimate, that maybe things are starting to percolate a little bit regarding a potential deal with the Red Sox?
Well, I think there's a little more to it now because I think maybe the Red Sox are tired of waiting around on Alex Bregman. And their team president, Sam Kennedy, president CEO, he said in recent days that oh, yeah, we're still looking for a right-handed bat. You know, and he talked about how they're getting a couple of infielders back, that, including Trevor Story, who were hurt last year. But he said, yeah, we've said this all along, and we're still looking for a right-handed bat. So there's an acknowledgement that they're in the market for a right-handed bat. And then Lou Maloney, who's one of the Red Sox broadcasters, he's an analyst, you know, he was talking about this, and he said, look, obviously they're looking for Bregman, but as time goes on, if they're going to pivot, they'll probably pivot to Arenado. It makes sense. So it's just a waiting game right now. But, you know, I do think that this latest round of speculation has got a little more substance than some of the stuff we've seen before. So we'll have to wait and see, right?
Yeah, and again, if the Red Sox don't feel like they're in the running for Bregman, then you move on to Arenado. If the Red Sox do feel like they're still in the running for Bregman, then maybe you force the issue with Scott Boras a little bit by engaging on Arenado.
Yeah, that you never know. I don't. It's tough to call his bluff, but you can try it. I just wish this. Come on now. Let's get this thing done. I don't know whether they're still holding out hope that Houston will come in and maybe make some concessions and get a deal done. So, but it's been annoying. There is a lot to talk about. So it's not like it's not a big story. It is, but I think we're all in the mood for it to move on a little bit. Let's get this track down the trains.
We've discussed before
the other way around, this train down the track. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've discussed before that when it comes to Boras clients, we should probably listen to the words that come out of John Heyman's mouth. And Heyman put out there not that long ago that he feels like the team that has the best shot of signing Bregman right now is the Chicago Cubs. And I know that's the last thing the Cardinals fans want to hear.
And that could be one of, Boras is really good about raising the specter of like, oh, all of a sudden there's another team in it. And so I think actually there's something to this. I think the Cubs are making a pitch. I just don't know how far and how high they're willing to go. I don't know that they want to, go with a 5 or 6 year deal, something like that. I think they'd probably be willing to pay a really big annual average value for maybe 2 or 3 years, something like that. But I do think that they're in it. There's definitely been some smoke with that, even with some of the reporting done in Chicago. It's a lot of it is, a lot of it is not based on like facts, but it is the gossip pipeline. And when agents start to talk and Scott Boras puts stuff out with his favorite writers, you got to pay some attention to it.
This probably goes under the category of old man yelling at the sky, but Bernie, this offseason has stunk because the entire time we've just waited on the Arenado thing. We've waited on the Bregman thing. The hot stove is supposed to be fun. And by the time you get to February 5th, like we're at right now, we're 1 week from pitchers and catchers. The focus needs to be on the team and what it's going to look like. And maybe there's a little piece here or a little piece there that's going to be added. But the whole offseason has been hijacked. And as somebody who loves the sport of baseball, I have become more and more offended by the way this thing has gone down.
It's disgusting. It's boring. It's tedious. The Hot Stove League used to be a great marketing vehicle to keep people interested in baseball, like really, really keenly interested in, oh, who's going to make a trade? Who's signing where? Because something could happen at any time. But you have a couple of three super agents who control all of this, and they have the right to do it. They're not violating any rules. But I keep going back to this. The Major League Baseball Players Association only seems to be interested in the top tier free agents getting theirs, while the players who are lower on the food chain, so to speak, have to sit and wait and sit and wait and wonder and worry about, when is Boras's guys going to sign? Like when will I be able to get an offer? So I'm always confused by that because I've been a member of unions and, I'm a pro-union guy, but I'm always interested in this caste system with the Major League Baseball Players Association because any talk of like, well, let's put a limit, let's put a deadline on when guys have to sign. They're all, no. Well, who benefits by letting this thing go into spring training? Scott Boras, his elite clients. It's not just him, it's other ones. And it holds everyone else up. And if I'm a player looking for a mid-range deal and I have to wait and wait and wait, or if I'm, you know, even lower on the scale where you're going to have to pick up the crumbs and you're going to have to like rush into somebody's spring training camp, I might actually talk to the union and say, well, you know, do we even matter in this? Like, are you representing our interest or just the select few most prominent free agents who are going to make the most money? I think it's just a really bizarre way to go about it. You don't see this in any other sport. You really don't.
No, you don't. Like, look at the NFL is as good as any league in making sure that they're in the news and the spotlight is on them. Even in the off season, they space out all their off season events and everything. They don't want them too close to each other. And then you have baseball that's doing this with free agency. I thought it was the dumbest thing in the world a few years back when they got rid of the waiver trade deadline, because that was August 31st. What's happening, Bernie, on August 31st? Everybody's getting excited about football, and that was a day where it was an opportunity to once again put the spotlight on baseball, and they just got rid of that thing. Like, I just do this game is amazing. Let people know about it.
Yeah, they, you know, and this is a lot of this is on Rob Manfred too. They willingly concede their offseason to every other sport. Because the NBA is making deals all off season, you know, NBA the trade deadline, it's going on now. There's a feeding frenzy. It's all you see on Twitter and ESPN. The NFL, we've talked about, they have two or three different periods during the year in the off season where there's all kinds of stuff happening, and the NFL does not concede any dates on the calendar. They've always got something to promote and keep the fans interested. The NBA is much like that. Hockey does a great job. When July 1st rolls around, the free agent season, there's always just all kinds of activity. And it happens in waves. It's not just like a three-day thing. But baseball concedes its off season. They've reduced their off season to nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Except for the few guys that get big deals early, like Corbin Burns would be an example.
A couple of things for you before we get out of here.
Sure, man.
SLU basketball last night, being down, what was it, 5 with, I think, 35 seconds to go, and they come back and they get a road win, which is always tough, at UMass. I mean, we realize that this is a team that's still flawed. They're not great, but, I mean, they're providing some really good moments, and it's been fun to watch them in league play.
Yeah, the games are fun. I was very disappointed in the Dayton loss, but the games are fun. And they're showing that they can overcome some things. Like, Avila's not only been playing poorly by his standards, and he's the first to tell you that, but he's getting into foul trouble, and he was a non-factor last night. And then you look at SLU in that game, you know, they're down. They turned the ball over 15 times. They gave up 25 offensive rebounds. And basically, and I think Josh Schertz essentially said this, they probably had no business winning that game. But they made key stops late, and they kept their poise, and they just kept grinding through, and they got that thing done. So I thought that was a really impressive win. And I'll be curious to see what Mizzou can do at Tennessee tonight, because Tennessee, all the things that Mizzou does well, they're an effective field goal shooting percentage team. They're a great three-point shooting team. Tennessee's got the number one defense in America, including stopping the three-point shot. So this will be a great, great look at Mizzou, what they can do on Tennessee's home court.
Tight game right now, 5.5 minutes to go first half. Missouri leads 23-21. So if you're looking for a tight game, you got it. So yeah, there you go. Last thing, just continued disappointment in the Blues. You cannot have a lead at home late in the third period and not win when you got to fight and scratch and claw for every point. And that's what happened last night. And then they lose in overtime.
They're a better team than they were under Drew Bannister. I mean, I think since you know, Montgomery took over, they're 15th in points percentage. They're a middle of the pack team. And I think maybe that's all they are, is a middle of the pack team. I admit it. I never hesitate to admit I was wrong. I thought they were on their way. Not that I said they're going to, book it, they'll be in the playoffs. But I thought, well, this is a different team. Things have changed dramatically. They've got a lot of the answers now. And then all of a sudden it goes off the rails and you don't know what to expect from one night to the next. And Matt, you and I have talked about it, and Wheels and Tom Ackerman, we've all talked about it. You know, at some point, it's very obvious it's not coaching, but it's very obvious that the roster's not good enough. And what Doug Armstrong's going to have to do to amend that or do something to fix it or update it. I have no idea, but you really can't count on this roster to be consistent.
Before we get you out of here, Bernie, can you tell us a little bit about our friends over at Saliga Heating and Cooling?
I would be delighted, my friend. Saliga Heating and Cooling has been taking care of the Miklas family for about 16 years. We love them. We trust them. We believe them. When they come to our home to work on something, man, total class, total integrity, the professionalism, the knowledge. You know, there have been times I've mentioned this before when we have a little problem, they come in and we're expecting, uh-oh, we're probably going to have to, you know, buy this something. We're going to have to replace this. That might cost some money. But this honest, independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer, they'll always look for cheaper solutions. Like, they're not going to leave you hanging. They're not going to try to talk you or nudge you into something you don't need at that time. They told us about 2 years ago, oh, no, you don't need a new boiler. Yours is old, but you got another 3 years left with it. We'll let you know when we think you need to replace it. They could have talked us into buying a boiler at that time, but they didn't want to do it. They'd rather have our business and treat their clients with the utmost respect. And that starts with integrity and honesty. So we're huge fans here in the Miklas home. They do all residential work, commercial work, all makes and models at Saliga Heating and Cooling. And, of course, they have that outstanding American Standard Heating Air Conditioning dealer. Hey, go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Find out about the Priority Club. It's a maintenance plan. And there's a lot of benefits, including economical benefits. Also, just your peace of mind, knowing all of your equipment's working well. And preventative maintenance can save you a lot of money. So one more thing, financing options are available if you do some business with Saliga Heating and Cooling, subject to credit approval. But you get the phone number and all the information on their services at SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you very much.
Super Bowl week does continue, and that means our guy Joe Roderick is continuing to make his way around New Orleans, going to all the events, finding out everything that is going on in front of the Chiefs and the Eagles matching up against each other coming up on Sunday evening at the Superdome. And with that, we do welcome our guy Joe Roderick back on to the show. He's going to be with us on Friday as well. Joe, thanks for taking some time. How is New Orleans treating you?
New Orleans is doing great. Last night was the media party at Mardi Gras World, and it far exceeded the media parties from Las Vegas last year and Arizona the year before. A lot of good food. I definitely had my fill of Cajun cuisine last night. Had a crawfish hot dog. Hmm. And a crab meat grilled cheese. Those were by far the two best things that I had that I ate last night.
Okay, a crawfish hot dog. Is that like a hot dog and there's like little crawfish meat like inserted inside of it, or is it something other than that?
It was a mini hot dog that was covered in like a crawfish type sauce.
Hmm. I don't think I've ever eaten anything crawfish.
It was very good.
Okay. When I was little... Yeah. There was a creek right down from my house and I would catch crawfish, but that is as close as I've ever gotten.
Yeah. I have a few different crawfish dishes. It's pretty good. I hopefully will run into some, again on this trip.
We talked to you on Monday, just before the NFL opening night event, media day. I know you were there. What were your takeaways from that, which is always a bit of a spectacle?
You know who the star was of the? I'm sure you've seen all over Twitter who the star of the event was. It was Jameis Winston. Whoever it was, somebody at Fox Sports decided we need to hire Jameis Winston to be our guy, our interview guy at media night. Whoever it was, they deserve a raise. They deserve a promotion because they hit it out of the ballpark. Jameis Winston was a star interviewing players throughout for both teams. It was great. at one point, he asked Saquon Barkley who he should play for next year, and Saquon Barkley said, "I heard the Giants need a quarterback."
Well, we know that Jameis likes crab legs, so maybe he likes crawfish as well.
I would imagine he does, yeah. And he also was throwing out, they had cookies made of W's, so he was throwing everybody W's to eat. If you've ever seen the thing he does with his fingers, and he threw one to Travis Kelce, and Travis Kelce caught it. James makes the comment, I'm used to having those intercepted.
Hey, at least he's self-deprecating on it. He knows who he is.
Right.
Yeah. After they get through that, that's when teams can really start to get back to practice and everything. And it gets a little bit more serious here moving forward. It also seems, Joe, a lot of teams try to do most of their heavy lifting work last week, where whatever they get done this week almost can be a bonus because there are so many distractions that go along with it, even after you get past media night.
Oh, especially, I mean, you think too, I mean, the players got in Sunday. They got in Sunday afternoon. You imagine, as the week goes on, families start to come in, and you start to, maybe you get to see your wife or girlfriend, maybe you get to see your kids for the first time. And yes, you really are like there. It's, everybody knows what hotels they're in, and I'm sure there's people in the lobbies and trying to get a glimpse or get an autograph, but you really, for most part, these guys are probably just like locked in their rooms or on their floors, and then they get shuttled off to practice and they're back. Like, it's just, it cannot be fun before you play in the biggest game of your life. And you talk to some of these guys about it, or you hear these stories of like the veterans that'll go to the rookies, and they're like, listen here, like, you need to find somebody in your family, like somebody you trust, that's going to handle all the ticket requests and everything else. Don't let people, fourth cousins start texting you on Friday night asking if they can get you tickets to the Super Bowl, like stuff like that. They're just like, shut it all down, just focus on the game. And, for the Chiefs and Eagles, a lot of these guys have been here before, but there are a few, Saquon Barkley, Xavier Worthy, like, you think those guys, like, this is like their first taste of what this is. So you have to lean on some of those veterans for the advice.
Yeah, it's, I don't think people think about that all the time because it is just so crazy, and it gets crazier by the day. Joe, I got to think that because people who are coming to the game, they arrive on Sunday, they arrive on Monday, they arrive on Tuesday, like all week long. So it almost has to feel like every day more people are being infused into the market, more things are happening, and the craziness level just continues to go up.
Yeah, like Monday night, went and just walked briefly by Bourbon Street, and it was dead. Like already last night, you could see it was like the amount of people down there doubled. I'm going to guess that come like Friday night, like you won't be able, it'll be just as packed as like a Mardi Gras would be with how many people are going to be down there for something like that. And yeah, the streets get worse. The just getting around everywhere gets a lot worse. So you really do have to have a plan. Even if you're coming down here just to watch the game and be a spectator, like you need to plan it all out in a town like this to know where you need to go or where you need to be and just how to get around the best way.
I remember going to the Super Bowl as a fan when the Rams played in the one in New Orleans. We couldn't get a hotel in New Orleans. We ended up staying in Baton Rouge just because these events, I mean, you've got people staying all throughout the region and basically every room is accounted for.
Oh yeah, that's they have had these sold out for months. I think people knew well ahead of time. They planned accordingly. I think you get fan base now. Like the Chiefs are like what the Patriots were a decade ago, to where I think in a lot of cases you get fans that will book this back in like August or September and just assume that their team's going to make it if you're like the Chiefs. And they're just saving their money up for another trip to go to another Super Bowl, because I think, you look at a team like the Patriots now, that's they're struggling, number one overall pick, like stuff like that, where it doesn't last forever. So you might as well enjoy it while it's there.
So take me through, we'll have you on again coming up on Friday evening on the show. So take me through the next 48 hours. What's going to be going on in New Orleans? What's the plan here as we're 4 or 5 days out from the Super Bowl?
Well, Matt, I do have something for you, hopefully tomorrow night. So tomorrow morning, I'm supposed to be talking to Chris Myers of Fox Sports.
Okay.
He does baseball stuff for them. And talked to him briefly today, and as soon as he heard St. Louis, like, I think he's real excited to talk some baseball tomorrow, because right now it's just been all football stuff. And Chris Myers is a jack of all trades, whether it's baseball, football, NASCAR, or even dog shows. He's a guy that can do it all. So I am very much looking forward to talking to him tomorrow about Cardinals. I'm going to try to also track down Mad Dog Russo, Chris Mad Dog Russo, and talk a little Cardinals with him too. So those are hopefully some things I have for you later on this week. So that's as far as content-wise goes for that. My plan tonight, I am trying to find my way into the Kelce party tonight, Matt.
Oh, is that just the Kelce family? I assume Travis will not be able there, but Jason would probably make an appearance?
I think, if Travis is there, I think it's for them to do their podcast, and then I think Travis will probably have to go back. I'm going to also assume Taylor Swift won't be there. But I think it's the whole, their brand, whatever their media company is. I think they are just kind of having an event tonight. So I am trying to figure out what I need to do to get into there. So that's the plan tonight. And then tomorrow I'll see Chris Stapleton in concert.
All right. Well, we'll follow up on Friday to see whether or not you got into the Kelce party.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed on that one.
All right, Joe. Great stuff. Enjoy the rest of the time in New Orleans, and we'll catch up with you again coming up on Friday.
Sounds good, Matt. Thanks. Have a good night.
You bet. That's our guy, Joe Roderick, covering the Super Bowl in New Orleans. We've got more coming up in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one. We got a lot coming up in hour two. We'll talk some City SC soccer with Jen Cease. We'll talk some Lindenwood men's basketball with their head coach, Kyle Gerdeman. That's all in the 7 o'clock hour. We've spent a fair amount of time talking through these Nolan Arenado rumors that are back out there that there's a re-engagement. Maybe that's probably the best way to say it, between the Cardinals and the Red Sox on a potential deal. Got a text message from 314, and I do feel like a lot of this has been addressed, so I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's also something that I'm kind of passionate about and really want people to at least understand where I'm coming from, so I'll address it here. So the text message reads, "The Cardinals are better off with Nolan, not trading Nolan. Why are you in favor of this cost-cutting youth movement by the Cardinals? I'd rather the Cardinals keep Nolan and the DeWitts sell the team." All right, so let's go through these things very quickly. You know what? I'll agree with you. Cardinals might be better. The win-loss record might actually be better this year with Nolan Arenado than without Nolan Arenado. Okay, it might be, it might not be. Not worth an argument. You might be right on that one. That is inconsequential to this conversation. The Cardinals are going through a reset to try to position themselves in the future to once again be able to win at a very high level. They are playing in the middle right now, and bluntly and honestly, the way that things have gone, their ceiling has become getting into the playoffs, but not really going on much of a playoff run. It's nice to get to the playoffs. It's an accomplishment to get to the playoffs. I'm not poo-pooing being a playoff team, but that can't be the St. Louis Cardinals ceiling. And right now, barring a very unexpected turn of events, which can happen in the playoffs, but generally speaking, that's their ceiling, just being a playoff team. I want this to be a team that has a ceiling of being a legit World Series contender. And going down the path that they've been going on, they're not going to get to that point once again. You do that by drafting and developing impact players. That's why they're going through this player reset. They've got some guys at the major league level that they got to figure out what they have. You cannot go into 2026 without knowing who you have in Nolan Gorman. And you figure that out by giving him an everyday job and just seeing what happens. You got to figure out what you have in Jordan Walker. You do that by giving him an everyday job without the threat of him going back to Memphis. You have to know what you have in those guys who have previously been top-level prospects. And I would include Thomas Tajasi in that conversation as well, although not as extreme as I would with Gorman and Walker. And if Arenado's on the team, Tajasi's likely in Memphis, which I don't think is great. That's why I want to see Arenado moved, because I want to see this team be able to get back on the path to having impact players that they produce. And you do that in part by figuring out if the guys you have are there. Look, it's the trendy, fun thing right now for disgruntled Cardinals fans to say DeWitt should sell the team. Yeah, let's just go with that. It is so incredibly short-sighted. It is so incredibly without looking at the track record of the DeWitts. Have the Cardinals lost their way? Yes. Are the DeWitts partially responsible for the Cardinals losing their way? Yeah, they are. I'm not, and I think they would admit that as well. They've admitted that by putting this team onto the reset that's going on right now. But if you take a step back and the overall track record of the St. Louis Cardinals since the DeWitt's ownership took over, you go a little bit more, you take that, you know, the 10 or so year period from 2006 to 2016, the DeWitts have had a very good track record of Cardinals baseball. And there's been a lot of winning, and there's most teams in baseball would trade what the Cardinals have done. Yeah, they need to reset some things. They've lost their way. There is culpability that goes along with the DeWitts, but they absolutely should not sell the team. That is a ridiculous thought, and I think people who can really take a step back and look at things can realize that. Now it's on them to get back to when they were so good before, when Jeff Luhnow was running things in terms of, you know, player development and draft. Like, that's what they were doing. They're trying to get back to that. And I think they're going to with Heim Bloom in charge. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.